Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 7 with an emphasis on these words. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Have you ever had the dream where you're flying only to realize halfway through that you have no realistic idea of how to actually fly? This dream can quickly become a nightmare, as many of us have experienced. You're moving peacefully through the air when suddenly you're firmly back on the ground with no way to determine how you were able to get up there in the first place. The feeling of weightlessness and freedom stripped away in an instant. And in those dreams, in the brief moment before you wake up, you can't help yourself but curse gravity for being so cruel as to clip your wings and tether you to the ground. John Mayer once wrote in his famous song of the same name, "Gravity is working against me. Gravity wants to bring me down." Of course, the artist was speaking metaphorically, for we all know that gravity is nothing more than the inherent magnetic pull of the planet, and not something which actually can act maliciously or vindictively. Gravity, like all parts of the natural world, was created by God for a purpose, and so, by virtue of Him who created it, it is good. Yet, to man who, by his nature, always wants more than his meager estate, gravity is seen as an obstacle. It is viewed as something which stands in the way of flight, and so it is seen as the enemy, something that we must overcome. Now, what is the takeaway from this, I hear you ask? Boy, Pastor Beck sure doesn't like flying, and while this is true, it's not exactly my point. I pose to you today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that this same borderline absurd concept for contempt for the law of gravity is frequently our approach to the law of God. St. Paul describes this kind of foolishness in Romans chapter 7 when he says, "The very commandment that promised life proved to be death for me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did that which is good, then, bring death to me? By no means. It was sin. Sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond all measure." Take note of the important distinction which the apostle is making. The law of God does not bind you so that it may break you and kill you, but in order that by it you may live. Just as gravity makes mortal man aware of his limitations, so does the law make the sinner aware of his sin. And it is through that awareness that the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ comes. For if I, in my sin, acknowledge my bondage under the law, as well as my inability to conquer it, then I will naturally seek out the means by which sin and death may be supplanted. And so I would no longer be bound, but I would be free. When man sought to conquer gravity and make flight a reality, what did he do? He did not learn to fly himself, as cool as those dreams are. He did not grow wings to soar through the skies like a bird, but he studied aeronautics. He determined the science behind flight, and he created the device which would allow him to access it. He invented the airplane, in short, to do the flying for him. So then, what does the sinner who wishes to conquer his sin do? He studies the law. When we open the law of God, the truth of our sin is revealed to us. We see the myriad ways in which we have turned away from God's good and righteous commands. We see that because of our sin, because of our own disobedience, we are tethered to death and the grave, for where God abides, there sin cannot be. The law then becomes to us an obstacle standing in the way of life, if only by means of our own stubborn disobedience. Because man cannot overcome sin on his own, something else was needed to carry him out of death and into heaven. And no, I'm not talking about an airplane this time. Rather, it was a Messiah, a Savior, a standard bearer who would fulfill the law perfectly on our behalf. This is precisely what Jesus Christ came to do. Though he was in all ways perfect, he still tethered himself to the law, and he suffered the full gravity of our sin and disobedience on Calvary's cross. He took the punishment which we had rightly earned, and in exchange he declared us to be righteous for the sake of his all-availing sacrifice. Now, having been so declared then, our entire relationship with the law is fundamentally changed. No longer does it show only sin and only death, but it shows now the image of Christ taking that sin and death upon himself. To look at Christ on Calvary's cross is to see the image of man under the weight of the law. It is to see justice carried out to its fullest extent, but not on those who had earned it, rather on the one who did not. For God does not deal with us according to what we have earned, but he deals with us according to his grace. Thus the law is to the sinner a blessing and not a curse. The law is the means by which the will of God is shown to us through the perfect obedience of his Son. What's more, the acknowledgement of the law brings the sinner to the right reception of the Holy Gospel. The man who sees that he is going to be crushed by the law comes to the altar of God in repentance and contrition in order to receive forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And so that man, that supplicant, he is no longer tethered to death, but now to life. St. Paul writes, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law, to the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. The weight of the law, which once crushed you with its burden, is now completely taken off of you. It is carried off by your Lord and your Savior. However, then, let us not make the same mistake that the antinomians do, who suppose that the law has become something which must be cast off entirely in order to receive Christ Jesus. No. Remember the airplane, how it does not achieve lift by forsaking gravity, but by abiding it. So also, the Christian does not recognize Christ by forsaking the law, but by diligently following it, and acknowledging where he falls short of it. In our Lutheran hymnal, in hymn number 579, the first and sixth verses read, "The law of God is good and wise, and sets his will before our eyes, shows us the way of righteousness, and dooms to death when we transgress. To Jesus we for refuge flee, who from the curse has set us free, and humbly worship at his throne, saved by his grace through faith alone." As those who have been saved by grace through faith, let us then thank God for the law, which points to his gospel of salvation. as we have been redeemed, let us continue then in practicing these works of righteousness for the sake of our neighbors, that they too might be freed from the burden of their sin. For the gravity of sin is nothing in the face of our God, who made heaven and earth, who gives us the law, that we would know his good and gracious will for us, who sent Christ Jesus to lift us up out of death and sin and into life with him forever. In his most holy name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.